All right, tonight go back to the 23rd Psalm. This will be our last message in this Psalm. This makes us 7, 8, maybe 9 different messages on Psalm number 23. And tonight we're in the last verse of this Psalm in verse number 6. The last part of verse number 6, last week we did the first part of the verse. Tonight we're in the very last portion of that. And so let's read the psalm once again. We have every time that we've met together for this, we've read the entire psalm. So let's do that again tonight. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul, and he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We find in these verses a comfort, and much has been said. Many things have been written on. There's been entire books written just on this one psalm. There's been many, many messages. It's been used many different ways. And these weeks we have just sort of looked at it phrase by phrase and putting some things together and noting that this psalm is... It was written from the standpoint of a shepherd and his sheep. And it is here now the sheep that is doing the speaking. The Lord is my shepherd. And we find here that we have no want with the Lord because he is our shepherd. He knows how to provide for us. He knows how to protect us. And so I don't have to have a want in my heart because of that. He has a rod and a staff that they comfort me. So I don't have to worry. The Lord is there to take care of every need that I have because he is there to guide and to direct. And then tonight we deal with the very last phrase, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And there we find that we do not have to wander. We are dwelling. We are not nomadic people. We are people that have a place that we call home. We have a place that is ours. We have a home here in this land. But there's a greater home coming in the land that is beyond recognition and beyond even comparison to anything of this world. And David said, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And so tonight we deal with this subject. This last passage. The psalm begins with the green pastures. It moves toward the still waters and then to a safe place of the tableland or the plateau that we dealt with, and so that the shepherd can keep his eye on the sheep killers, so the shepherd can watch and protect those at whom he has a rule over and has that responsibility of protecting. And all this is done during what we would consider the summertime. But now we find fall maybe is upon the shepherd, and David is dealing with this subject matter. And he says, we're going to the house. He says here that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The house here spoken from the standpoint of the shepherd could be and probably would be his family home. And now he's leaving the place of the green pastures. He's leaving the place of the plateau and the table and the protection and all those things that's listed in those verses preceding this. And now he says, we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord. He moves from a sheep and a shepherd upon this earth to one that is a spiritual place, a place that we have for us. And the truth here is that the shepherd or the sheep says, "I'm going home because the shepherd's taking me. The Lord is my shepherd, and I'm going to dwell with him forever and forever." I'm glad tonight that we have an understanding, and the scriptures to my heart is very clear that as a As a child of God, we have an eternal home. We have a home that's going to last forever and forever. And David says, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord that long, forever. I looked up in the concordance this afternoon, and I was just wondering about that little phrase, the house of the Lord. I wondered how many times it was used in the book of Psalms, and to my surprise, of all the Old Testament, there's one little section there that it is only used in the poetical books. It's only used 8 times, and all 8 of them is in the book of Psalms. So David had his mind set upon the house of the Lord. David had his heart set upon that place where he was going to spend his eternity. The first time that phrase is used in the book of Psalms is right here in Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So it's found in Psalm 23, verse 6. It's found in Psalm 27, verse 4, and we'll be looking at that one a little bit later. It's found in Psalm 92 and verse 13, Psalm 118, verse 26, Psalm 122, verse 1, and 122, verse 9, Psalm 134, verse 1, and then the last time in the book of Psalms is 135, verse 2. 8 times in the book of Psalms, David deals, and he uses that little phrase, the house of the Lord. Now, I was just sitting here a moment ago while we were singing that last song, and I began to think, I like to find out how many times something is used, just to see the scope of it. And so I put the house of the Lord in my concordance on my phone just a moment ago, and I found out that it's used 234 times in, I think, 214 verses. So 234 times God gives us from the book of Genesis is the first time, all the way through, 234 times we have that little phrase, the house of the Lord. But when I went to the very end of it, I was shocked. I thought, well, it'll be the last time will be used somewhere in Paul's writings or maybe in the book of the Revelation. But that phrase, the house of the Lord, is not used at all in the New Testament. Now, we talk about the house of God, the house of the Lord, and rightfully so, but it's sort of surprising to me that it's not used in the Scripture in the New Testament. It's an Old Testament phrase. And they understood that the house of the Lord was the temple of God. It's where God met with His people. That's an Old Testament. We don't have temples today. Not like what they were in the Old Testament. I don't believe really there is such a thing as a New Testament temple. We have in the New Testament era, we have what we call the church. And I know we have temples and tabernacles and different names. But when we come to the strict understanding of it, the house of the Lord or the temple of God was primarily and was specifically for the Jewish people. And God says, this is my house. And Jesus referred to his house. He said, you've made my house a den of thieves. And so we find that the phrase, the house of the Lord, is very prevalent in the Old Testament. Come to the New Testament, then we have the church of Jesus Christ. We have the church that met in Philippi, the church that met in Corinth, and the church, whatever city it was in, that was the place where it was called the church of the Lord. And so David now is dealing with this subject matter of a shepherd and his sheep. Now he comes down to finality, coming down to the end of the season, and he's going to take, the sheep are going home, and the shepherd is going to lead them to that place. And David, when he begins to think about the ramifications of the house of the Lord and the place of dwelling, he begins to understand that there's a place I'm going to, that I'm going to be there forever and forever and forever. The Bible says, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go prepare a place for you. You and I tonight, as a believer of the New Testament era, we're going to those mansions that the Lord has prepared for His people. And we're going to finish our course. Our course is going to be completed as the shepherd here is completing his season with his sheep. And David is writing about that. We are coming down to the close, and it comes at the end of this particular psalm and this passage. We always are talking about finishing school and finishing different things. Just a moment ago, made an announcement that school's going to be ended, or school's going to be finishing here in just a few weeks. And so we're always looking for the finished product of something. And we've got 6 weeks, and school will be finished for this year. When a person, no sooner than a baby is born, he begins his life and begins his march toward the finish of his life. Every one of us are headed toward that same place that it will all be completed. No sooner than we do we hang up the calendar for a new year that it seems like just a few weeks, and we're taking that calendar down and putting up another calendar because we have finished that year. It's amazing to me that here we are in the first part of April. It doesn't seem like it's been any time that we were finishing up last year, going into a new year, and here we are already into the month of April. And then before long, it'll be another month. Before long, it'll be another month. And before you know it, we're going to say, you know what? Christmas is just around the corner. And the new year is upon us again. And we're always finishing something. And so David is looking now, and as he pens these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he is finishing and talking about the finish of this shepherd and his sheep. This psalm begins with the Lord, and it ends with the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But when you read verses 2 through 5 and all those other verses, you know what? The Lord's right in the midst of the whole time. And I'm glad from the first of my life to the finish of my life. And you and I, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord comes in and makes us a new creature in Christ Jesus, he's not just at the finish, the start of it. He's not just at the finish of it. Thank God there is a finish line. Thank the Lord there is a crown to be won. But in between the start and the finish, the Lord's there also. And he is there as he was with David to protect, to guide, to feed, to give life to those, and even give correction to those sheep that would go astray. And David said, even though I walk through the valley of death, the shadow of death, he said, I don't have to fear because who's with me? The Lord's with me. He's with me when I began. He's my shepherd. He's going to be with me in the end because I'm going to dwell in his house forever and forever. I've no one has. There's so many times we find that people don't have a lot of time for God's house here below. But we're going to be in God's house forever and forever in eternity. The Lord's house forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The trip has not always been pleasant. Sometimes there's problems that arise, but we have the dark shadows, we have the troubles, but we have the promise of God that he's there with us, and that one day he will deliver us safely over to the other side. He will deliver us, and we'll have everything that we need in our life to serve him. And the enemies that we may face and the problems that may arise to us, I'm glad that I can realize the Lord is with me. I'm glad he is there to help and there to give direction. The dark places that we encounter along life's way are nothing to the Lord, because he has already traveled that way before us. The problems that come to us, we don't have to worry too much about that, because my shepherd knows how to lead me around the dark areas. He knows how to lead us through the valleys. He knows how to take us over the mountaintops, because we're headed to a destination. The moment you trusted the Lord, the moment I trusted the Lord, there's a destination out there that we're headed to, and nothing will prevent that, because we're going to be in the house of the Lord forever and forever. It's called that place of heaven. That place that we know of that is so wonderful. Jesus, as I mentioned a while ago, he said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And so he's prepared it. One day we'll occupy it. and we'll have joy in our heart. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon, he made this statement. He said, little faith will bring a soul to heaven. Doesn't take a whole lot of faith to get saved. He says, so a little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but much faith will bring heaven to your soul. And may God help us to live tonight that we can understand that the Lord wants heaven with us. It's not just a place we're going to, but it's a place we can have now. And I believe David understood these things as he realized that the goodness of God, the mercy of God was following after him. And he says here that it's doing it all the days of my life. That's our God's house for now. That's our life. Every moment of our breath, every breathing moment that we have, thank the Lord, he is with us. He is there to help us and to guide us. The Lord is with us at the beginning, and he's with us at the end, just like he is in this psalm. But I thank God he's with us in between, too, all those times that we have in between that. Years ago, Brother Bob Ferguson was here, and he preached on Psalm number 23, one of the best messages I've ever heard. And he read this passage a little differently, and I've read it this way to you before. But he says here, the Lord is my shepherd all the days of my life. Thank God tonight he is our shepherd every day of our life. And he went on and said, I shall not want all the days of my life. And he put that little phrase, all the days of my life, in behind every phrase of this psalm. And my goodness, it just explodes the meaning of the psalm. He restoreth my soul all the days of my life. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake all the days of my life. And every little phrase in that in this psalm, you can just sort of put an exclamation point, all the days of my life. And thank God when life is over, when we draw our last breath and everything is said and done and the cemetery dirt is put on top of our casket, we can say, I've gone to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and forever. So God's house is now as we travel our pathway. Deuteronomy chapter number 11, verse 21 says that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware to you by your fathers to give them as days of heaven upon the earth. So you can have heaven upon earth. The Lord promised to the people of Israel. He promised to the Jew there in Deuteronomy 11. He says, the Lord has given you and your children, he has sware to your fathers, to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. I'm glad all the days of my life he is there to help me and there to guide me. But there is a day coming when the days of my life are over, and then I'll be in the house of the Lord. David gives us some promises here. I will dwell. There's no question mark in David's understanding. There's no question mark in what he is saying here. He is very emphatic when he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He tells us in Psalm 27, this is the second time this phrase is used, and he says, Psalm 27:4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Then he says, all the days of my life. He's talking about his life now. He's talking about present tense, the moment. And so Psalm 27:4, David is talking about right now. And he says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So David said, I'm going to look at him and I'm going to learn from him. We find, and we'll look at that in just a moment. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired. I'll tell you what, when we see the Lord, I believe we will admire him. I believe we will look after him and long and rejoice in what the Lord has for us. And so Paul says, when the Lord comes, And his saints are going to be glorified, he says, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So there's a day coming, we're going to admire him. We're going to look upon, and what we're going to do, we're going to worship him for all throughout all eternity in the house of the Lord. The God of heaven wants to give us just a little taste of that heaven here upon earth. And so many times we Christians, we are so bogged down about circumstances and problems and everyday living, we forget about what good things he has for us. He does this by our experiences. We have experience. We could testify tonight how the Lord has given us some experiences that has been heavenly in our lives, and heavenly thoughts and things that the Lord, we knew he answered our prayer. And those experiences are there that we have before us. And then the New Testament says that he gives us the earnest of his Spirit. That word earnest just means it's a down payment for that which comes later. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. We have been sealed, the Bible says, until the day of redemption. When everything is complete and we're settled down and life's over, and our house now is being dissolved, and we go to our long home, the Scripture says. And so with our experiences, he gives us a little bit of heaven upon earth. With the earnest of the Holy Spirit, he seals us, and we have the down payment. And we know that one day I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise the Lord for that. So God's house, the house of the Lord, we can experience some joys with it right now. That Psalm 27, verse 4 that I read a moment ago, it says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Nothing wrong with desiring something from God. God wants us to desire him and desire the good things of the Lord. And David says, my desire is that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. David said, I want to stay faithful, I want to stay truthful with the Lord, so I can behold the beauty of the Lord. Psalm 27:4 is just about as good as Psalm 23, verse 6. And it just gives you a little different insight. And so we can see the house of the Lord. David says here, I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. I want to see the goodness of our God. Yeah, I want to see the good things that God has for us. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with an open face beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. We haven't seen him face to face, but we've seen some of his glory. We haven't seen him person to person, but we've seen the result of his working in our heart and in our life. And so David says, one thing I desire of the Lord, that I'm going to seek after him, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. David now was talking about livelihood right now. And so we find that there is a portion of heaven that comes to us here upon this earth. And we look to him, and we behold him, and we desire him. And so we find that we desire to look upon him. The Bible tells us about the disciples that was with the Lord on the transfiguration. He was transfigured before them. They saw him, that image from glory to glory that's spoken of there in 2 Corinthians. In Romans chapter 12 says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, transformed in the way of the Lord, to watch and to look upon him and to desire him and to know the power of which he gives to us blessing on top of blessing. There was a German sculptor, and I can't pronounce his name, but he desired to produce a sculpture of the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he worked on that 8 years before he was satisfied with what he had. It is said that he was able to portray in that sculpture of an imaginary face that he portrayed as the Lord, because we have no idea what the Lord looks like. But he put in that expression or in that sculpture all the emotions of love and sorrow. And when someone would look upon that, they would recognize that it represented that one that cares about an individual. Sometime later, this man was asked if he could use his talent to sculpture the statue of Venus. You know, that's a goddess, false god. And he answered their inquiry with this statement or this question. After gazing so long into the face of Christ, thank you that I can now turn my attention to a heathen goddess? How can we turn from that which is spiritual to that which is ungodly? And you and I tonight, we live in a world that's filled with ungodliness, and we are to be that portrayal of the Lord, that people would look upon us and that we would portray the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart, that we would be a witness unto Him. Book of Hosea, chapter 14, verse 8 says, "What have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard Him and observed Him." Hosea said, what can I have to do with idols? Because I've looked upon the Lord. I've observed God. I've looked upon Him. And so David, he says, I desire the house of the Lord not only for the looks around me and what people can see, but he says, I desire the house of the Lord because of the learning. He says in that Psalm 27, verse 4, that last portion of it says, and to inquire in His temple. That's to learn of our God. Tonight, the reason our country is in such a mess is because very few people really have learned who God is. They have no spiritual knowledge. Oh, they may have a knowledge that some kind of education society gives them. They may have a knowledge of what religion has given them. But we need to inquire in His temple. We need to inquire in the house of the Lord. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is given and is here for the purpose of teaching and training and telling people, not only just winning, but discipling people, that they might know where they stand, that they might know what they believe. And the reason churches are tottering to and fro tonight is because of the weakness behind the pulpit. I'm assured of that. That there's just not a whole lot of doctrinal preaching going on, not a lot of things being given to what we believe and why we believe it. And so therefore, when every wind of doctrine comes, it takes some away out into the sea. And so David said, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty. That's what I see. But he said also, and to inquire of in His temple, and that's what we learn. We'll never know God in the way that we should know God until we get into God's book. I'm not talking about your commentaries. I'm not talking about good books that's been written about the book. I'm talking about getting into the book, getting into the Bible. And the best commentary that you'll ever have on the Bible is the Bible. And sometimes we are just too lazy. We don't want to take the time. We don't put into the effort to search out the Scriptures is to find out what thus saith the Lord. And so we let somebody else tell us, and we never really experience it for ourselves. But David said, I want to inquire in His temple. I want to have the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. The knowledge of our Lord. To Him be glory both now, that's right now, and then he says, forever. So it's basically the same thing that David is dealing with, and dealing with this thing of eternity. I'm glad I know Him now, but I'm glad I'm going to know Him better there. I'm going to have a better understanding of who He is when we get there. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, He, Him that overcometh, I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out, shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him a new name. We're not going to go out anymore. We're going to be there forever and forever. I was thinking about this thing of heaven. There's an entrance in, but there's no exit out. Praise the Lord. You think about the Garden of Eden. There was no entrance into it, but there was an exit out, and they could not go back in. And so we have before us something that is wonderful, and it's called heaven. And David says here in this particular psalm, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's amazing. I'm sure we realize everything we see tonight is going to dissolve one day. Everything we hold one day will no longer be there. But I'm going to a place that's going to last forever. And I'm going to be there forever because the Lord Jesus Christ, from the very foundation, before the foundation of the world, He was as a lamb slain. He's been there forever. And He shall be there forever. And David says, I'm going to dwell in His house just as long as He's there. We don't have any problem. We don't have any difficulty tonight knowing what it's all about. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's given me everything of my life. He starts my life. He takes it in the midst of everything and helps me and protects me and feeds me and gives me water, gives me pasture, gives me the high land, and He takes care of my enemies, and He does all those things. He gives me goodness. He gives me mercy. All those things that we've dealt with, and then He says He's going to end up, I'm going to be with Him forever. Praise the Lord tonight. What God does, He doth forever. Psalm number 23, and certainly we have not even touched the hem of the garment in these six, seven, eight lessons that we've had, because we've gone, you could go almost word by word and take these things to realize how good and how great our God is. But tonight, we can leave with the understanding, the Lord is my shepherd in the beginning of my life. He's my shepherd in the midst of my life. And He's my shepherd throughout all eternity, because I'm going to be with Him. Praise God tonight for salvation, eternity, and a Lord that what He does forever. Let's stand together.